Brother Paul, if you'd like to go and open and pray this morning, or this afternoon rather.
Oh Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for being with us today. Thank you, Lord, for our presence, for your presence with us, Lord, this morning, for the wonderful fellowship over the meal we had, Lord. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you'll bless the time we have now, Lord. Bless Brother Howard, the message that you will have him bring, that, Lord, you'll touch us. And Lord, we look forward to sharing with the bread and wine, Lord, your sacraments this afternoon. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your presence with us today. Pray, Lord, you'll watch over those that have had to leave, that you'll keep them safe if they're travelling, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. We praise your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Shall we sing 164, Keep Me True?
Keep me true, Lord. Jesus, keep me true. There's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Give me power every hour to be true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus.
Let's sing 2-2-1 each time I take the time. Oh, sorry. Each time.
Each time I stop and take the time to look around me, see the signs of His appearing everywhere. Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me. Oh, I've been watching and I've been waiting. Just any day now, His face I'll see.
Should just say that it's good that the holidays are all over now because everybody's back, you know. There's something about a holiday, you go on holiday and you've actually got less time. Well, I find it that way anyway. It messes up your routine and you seem to steal time from the Lord to try and cover everything else that you're trying to do. So it's good to be able to, you know, just have that simple routine where you can spend time in prayer and things like that. But good to see Brother Pesa back and Brother Taz and your wife there. Let's sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
We have in Jesus. Oh.
We'll have some testimonies next, but if there was any items this afternoon. No? That's right. Is there any testimonies this afternoon? From Malia. Sister June?
Just reading a psalm before I went to sleep the other night, and it was such a blessing to me. I just thought I'd just share. It says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy." And this was the verse that really struck me, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. And I said, thank you, Lord, because sometimes we have like a dry spell and we feel like there's a bit of a famine in our soul or whatever. But he said he'd not only deliver me from death, but he'd keep me alive in famine. And I just praise the Lord because he's promised to finish the work he started in us and he'll keep us. Mm.
No others? There's actually a very blessing, that psalm, because I'm only a young Christian, but I'm sure a lot of people, a lot of older Christians that you talk to, they do go through famines, and sometimes you don't know where to turn, and you don't know where the Lord is, and you're just sort of, whether he's standing in the doorway, you're not sure, but you just trust him and carry on. But I know that feeling. Let's sing 327, He is our peace. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace, He is our peace, He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. We'll sing one more and then I'll ask Brother Harold to come. Let's sing 320, Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon a tree. By His stripes we are healed. By His blood.
Praise the Lord. God bless you all. We've just got a little word before we come around the table of the Lord, so we won't be too long. As we know, afternoon services are generally a little quieter, a little shorter rather, should I say. They might get loud. I don't know what the Lord's going to do. But we just pray that God will speak to us today, this afternoon, as we come around His word. I wonder if we could turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15. You remain seated. Luke chapter 15, verse 10 through 24. If you want to stand, you're welcome to stand. You can sit, whatever you like. Don't lie down, though. All right, Luke chapter 15, verse 10 says, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that befalleth me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living." Sister Heather, we were talking about that just a while ago. And you know, you didn't know if I was going to speak about this, but it's just amazing, isn't it? We're just talking about money management for those who get a lot of money all of a sudden. Anyway, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with husks that the swine did eat. But no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house, of my father's, have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Shall we just pray? Precious Lord Jesus, you gave us this example when you were here, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll quicken to us exactly what you were trying to say. There's so much in this story, Lord. We could not possibly cover everything. But I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless each one here and those that are listening on the internet or wherever they are at this time, Lord. May you bless them too. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We appreciate the people on the internet. I was talking to a brother in Germany 2 days ago, and he said, we listen regularly to your services. And it was a real blessing to hear. And also from Canada, and it's Brother Paul, Sister Lynn there in Vancouver, God bless you. And anyone else that we know are listening, God bless you. We wish you were here with us. But we are together in spirit. Praise the Lord. So I just want to speak on the subject of I love it. It's something very precious to me. Verse 17. And it says about the young man. And when he came to himself. When he came to himself. You know, brother and sister, we really need, by the help of the Holy Spirit, to come to ourselves. For God to reveal to us the things we need to know. Only God can show you, and I pray that he will show us every day the things that we need to know. You know, we can learn a lot, and that's good. We can become very knowledgeable of the scriptures, that's good, and be able to put it all together. But what we need to know is to come to ourselves and God to reveal to us what he's trying to tell us. I just think that is the most precious thing in the wide, wide world, is when God allows us to come to ourselves like this son, this prodigal. So we just want to speak on this for a few moments. The word prodigal actually means, I looked up in the dictionary because I'm not very educated by the Taz, so I'm just going to look it up in the dictionary. And it says this, a person who spends money in a reckless, extravagant way. Also a prodigal son or daughter, a person who leaves home to lead a prodigal life but later makes a repentant return. So really that describes this man in the Bible that Jesus was speaking of. But the first thing we must notice, and I think it's really amazing, that it says here, this prodigal son was born of his father. Now that is really interesting. He was born into the family. And I believe that it's scary to see how far a son of God can wander from the Father. It's very amazing to see how quickly people can move away from their Heavenly Father before he comes to himself. There's many a son and daughter of God who needs to come to themselves. No one can make you come to yourself. I could get down there and grab you by the neck and shake you. Somebody could shake me. So listen to me. Wake up, boy. Wake up. They can't do it. God is the only one that can shake you into reality. God is the only one that can bring light to your soul. Brother and sister, I know it's the truth. It's just so, goes really deep. You can't learn yourself into it. You can't train yourself into it. You can't be preached into it. God has to show you. So here we have a story. This son was born of his father. And I just feel that's really wonderful because, you know, there's a relationship there right there. Like we said about the little boy in our service this morning, he let his son run around town and he's always running off, and the father stood in the shop doorway. He watched him. He didn't see him, but he stepped aside, went in the doorway, watched him. And he's wanted to see what he would do. And all of a sudden, the son came to himself and said, "Daddy, where are you? Daddy, where are you?" His father stepped outside the doorway and said, "Son, I'm here. Why did you leave me?" He said, "I never left you. You left me. But I was watching." Why? Because he was a son. He was his son. So I believe that when you're born again of the Spirit of God, that God has something for you, like a little eaglet. He softens things down to start with. Things are soft. You know, when you first became a Christian, oh, you had so much joy. Everything was great. Everyone was a Christian. You didn't see any faults with people. You were just so happy to know your sins are forgiven. And it's just like we fed sumptuously every day on his loving parent. He kept him and helped him and blessed him. He was protected from the enemy. He's kept safe when you're with the Father. Like the Holy Spirit places a buffer zone around young eagles. You know, you've heard the story, the young eagles, they fill their nest with lamb's wool and everything's just lovely, and mother bird or father bird comes in with the juiciest, let's say worms, but it's more like a piece of salmon or something, and it pops it in their mouth. And it's just, they're just really enjoying the blessings of being a little eaglet. But you know what? It doesn't stay like that. I'm sorry, but it doesn't stay that way. But to be reality, you've got to be nurtured. You've got to be strengthened. What do? They start, mother bird or father bird comes and he gets hold of that wool. He picks it up because their nests are way up high on the mountain. They throw the wool over. The baby said, "Mom, what are you doing?" "That's all right." Throws the wool out, takes all the soft fur away. And things aren't like they used to be when you first got saved. Little eaglet tries to sit down. He says, "Ouch." A stick got into him. He was uncomfortable. He couldn't sit around the same. And that forced him, but like we said this morning, it forces you to wake up. And he starts, you know, flapping his wings a little bit, and he needs to get strength. And brothers and sisters, we need to get strength. Who believes we need to get strength? We need to get strength. And so that's what happens. The Spirit of God puts a special buffer zone around young believers. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of my eye." Like the father in the shop doorway, he's watching every move of that child. And God is watching over us and keeping his eye on us because we're so vulnerable when we get out there. It just seems the young convert is living, you know, in bliss of every body. As I said before, it's just perfect. And that's how it should be, really. We should see everybody as perfect. Who believes everybody's perfect? You do? That's amazing. Look, brother and sister, none of us are perfect. The only perfect ones are those that are really abiding in Christ Jesus. And he makes us perfect. But now Paul says, you did run well. What did hinder you? You started off well. You're on fire for God. Everything was sweet and dandy. Now things have turned. And we become restless, like the son became restless. He wasn't happy with the blessings of his father's house and the provision that his father gave and the protection that his father gave. And the son did not fully appreciate the privileged environment that he was in. He felt his father owed him something. Let me say this. God owes you nothing. You owe him everything. And he said to his father, Father, give me of my inheritance. What a terrible attitude. Don't ever do that. Lord, give me anything if it belongs to me. Give it to me, Lord. It's the wrong approach. It's best to let God decide when he gives you what he's going to give you, whether he gives you a gift or whether he gives you a ministry or something like that. Don't go seeking for, I want to be a preacher. I want to be an evangelist. You can be nothing except God gives it to you. And if you get things because you want it, as Brother Brandon made that statement, he said, you become a stuffed shirt. Oh, I'm a preacher. God can't use you if you think you're a preacher. He wants to get us into a place of humility and sweetness in him. So that's exactly what happened to this prodigal son. The Bible says he wasted his substance with riotous living. His demand for his inheritance became his downfall. Brothers and sisters, we start putting claims on God. Oh, I want this, I want that. Listen, get into Christ, abide in him, and he'll provide exactly what you need for the hour that we're living in today. He became a somebody when he got out there in the world with all this money. He lost sight of reality of his father's love for him. He forgot all about his father's love. And he got everything he wanted, but he was not content to leave it in the father's hand. He wanted it now. I want it now. Brother and sister, how many times have we wrung our hands? What are we trying to do? The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Never become dissatisfied with what God has given you and doing with you. Never become dissatisfied. You say, well, all I do is stand at the door and greet people. Well, that's a wonderful place to be. Just to be a doorkeeper in the house of God is everything. If we have him as our Heavenly Father, if we have the Lord as our Heavenly Father, we have everything. Everything you want. Now that is a revelation God's got to give you. We sing this song, He is my everything. He is my all. Now when he went out, in his enthusiasm, he lost his protection, totally lost it. He decided to move away from the father. His father never stopped him. He let him go. God will never force you to do anything, and neither will he stop you. However, when he moved away, we move away in our will, away from the father, we're outside of the great wisdom and protection of the Holy Spirit. Oh, brother and sister, I don't want to go there. I don't even like saying it. You know that? I tremble at the thought of us just going our own way. Said, Lord, instead of saying, Lord, what will you have me do? I just want to be in your will. So we see that as you went out, things went okay for a while. And sometimes they seemingly will. Seemed like everything went fine. Seemed to even improve. Why, he had more friends, had more popularity, he was well received, life was free and grand for a season. And often that's what happens when we go on our own way. We think, oh, this is great, God's blessing me. Sometimes when people leave church, they feel free. But in reality, they have removed themselves outside of God's refuge. Like a little child trying to climb the fence in the front yard. But they are not ready to leave. They're just not ready to leave. And once out, he's free, but he has no concept of the dangers. And the prodigal son was unknowingly had just left his God-given refuge. reminds me of the scripture which says in Galatians chapter 5 verse 1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made thee free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." You know, brother, sister, you've got to see this. When I say you've got to see it, only God can show you how we can get entangled again. You know, we become free. Freedom at last in the Lord. And then we start going back to our old ways of getting mixed in with the other company that you're in. And eventually it's like getting caught up in golden syrup. It gets all over you. It's a real mess. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. A man running from the presence of the Lord. That's exactly what the prodigal son was in type doing. And don't let us say, "Oh, it won't happen to me." Jonah was a mighty prophet of God. We know Jonah was. And he ran from the presence of the Lord. God said to he wanted him to go to Nineveh, but Jonah felt more comfortable going to Tarshish. There's a better ride there. There are better hotels there. He got a hotel, all right, in the belly of a whale. And brothers and sisters, let's just read this in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." That's what it is. When we're running from God. "And went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. Went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind." Remember what we're saying this morning about God can allow trials to come your way? He does it because he loves you. We say, "Oh, the devil's done this," but actually it was God doing it. With Hannah, she had a condition, she couldn't have a child. God arranged that. The Bible says that God had closed the womb. But it was all for a purpose, which we found out. "God sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." The word of the Lord says, God sent out a great wind. Oh, brother and sister, may he send a great wind to us. It did not happen straight away. But if you're God's child, it will come. This prodigal son, by his own will, ran from his father to better lands. This is great. My ministry's booming. God's using me to testify. He may be too. I'm just saying these things. But as the precious word of God says in Proverbs 13:15, "The way of the transgressor is hard." When we deliberately walk outside of God's will, we have got a problem. And brothers and sisters, we can claim it's the devil till the cows come home, but it's us. We are the ones that have brought this on us. "The way of the transgressor is hard." It's a hard road to hoe, I'm telling you. Very difficult. He even had to pay for his fear to go outside the will of God. You know, we're going to go to great lengths to go outside the will of God. We'll actually pay our way to get out of his will. To outside what God had told him. Many times we make a rod for our own backs. But this young man, the grass looked greener and he left. "I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. I can go and do what I like now. I've got all my money. I've got everything going. Everything's going my way for a season." Then the storm started brewing on the horizon. He found he got new friends. He said, "The devil always has a program for a wandering child of God. He's got a program set up for you." He found new friends who agreed with him, supporting his ambitions. It was not long before he could see they were using him. Now, I just want to say that with friends. When you start being used, I'll tell you something, they're not your friends. They'll use you. It's a horrible thing to say, but that's the truth. Now, the Bible says we know that he had a lot of wealth because he got all his inheritance at once. And the Bible says in Proverbs 19, verse 4, wealth maketh many friends. If you get a lot of money, it's amazing how many friends you get. They attract you like suckerfish. They stick on to you. In Proverbs 19:6, it says, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. And we know the story of the prodigal son. You know, we've heard little Bible stories and everything, and people came around and he gave them gifts, and he had people all around him. Wine, they would say wine, women, and song. They had everything going. He just wanted, all that he wanted was his because he had money for a season. But that wasn't his main problem. That was not his main problem. Money was not his problem, or the lack of it. And the devil does that. He will use you and then discard you like a worn-out dish rag. Satan wants to use you and cast you out. He has no interest in you but to use you. That's how he works. The day came when this new ambitious life began to lose its charm. Now, brothers and sisters, it's a terrible thing when it starts dawning on you, you're outside the will of God. Really, it's a frightening thing when that happens. When you realize that you're outside his will. The gifts of his father had given him dwindled away to nothing. And at the same time, his so-called friends mysteriously faded away. When he went to call on them, they were not to be found. He became very desperate. He had no money, no friends, but worst of all, no father. But God knows how to get our attention. He still had not come to himself. He still had not come to himself. At his lowest time, light struck. Praise be to God. It seems God has to use these times to waken us out of our sleep. In Proverbs chapter 3:11, it says, my son, we read this morning actually, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the father, the son, in whom he delighteth. It was in this place that the prodigal son done some serious thinking. When all the music ceased and all the dancing stopped, he started to think. And all that he could hear and all that he could smell was pigs. You know, brother and sister, the revival can sometimes start in a pig pen. When everything's going easy for you, life's easy. It's grand. There's no trials or testings at all. But when it's like that, God can't get to you. We're too involved. But when you get down into the pig pen, as it is, that's all you can smell, and you're starving. Something clicked in him. And I want to say this in the name of the Lord. When something clicks in you, it really clicks in you. And God shows you where you're at and what you're doing. It's a wonderful revelation. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, when God shows you where you're at, you didn't realize you're actually mixing with the world big time and didn't even know it. The Bible says, he that is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. But you can actually be mixing with the world and not be aware of it. But when God shows you, it's very clear. The blinds go up and you see it clearly. That is the mercy and grace of God to you. When the blinds go up and can see what you're doing, only God can show you. The preacher can't show you. The church can't show you. Only God can show you where you are. And that man came to himself. Did he ever? He said, what's going on? Look at me. I'm a filthy pig. I'm, you know, fellowshipping with these pigs. And he's starving. Who was he? Son of his father. Just amazing. It clicked in him. I want to say this. Every child of God will come to themselves. Every child of God will awaken out of their slumber. They'll realize what they're doing. It's a wonderful thing. Know ye not this by the goodness of God that he leadeth you to repentance, the Bible says. God leads you to a place of repentance that he can show you what's happened. It's our saving grace that God awakens us. When we've come to the end of our programs, organizations or our special doctrine or whatever, then God can get through to us. We realize that it was that he was worse off than his father's servants. That's what happened to him. He got a revelation that he was worse off than his father's servants. Now, he didn't see that in the beginning. You've got to get down sometime to find out. God will show you. Then God can get through to us. He realized that he was worse off than those at home. Even though things look real bad, really bad situation he was in. Oh, let's pray for Brother John. He's in a terrible state. Let's pray for Brother Paul. He's in a shocking state. But actually, maybe God doing something. It was his wonderful turning point. In his darkest hour, you've got to think about this man who was wealthy. He had robes. He had rings on his fingers. He had money. He had popularity. Everyone loved him. Everyone invited him to the party because he was going to provide it, you see. So everyone knew this man. Well-groomed. He had his horse and everything was great. Now he was groveling with the pigs. He's living a piggish life. And while he's living a piggish life, he came to himself. I think that is wonderful. Brother and sister, he could have sat there and said, this is just not fair. This is terrible. Why am I in this state? And he could be in the state and no lights came on. Brother and sister, the lights have to come on in your life for God to show you your true state. Absolutely. That's right, brother. Only God can. God has to show you your state. Then when he shows you your state, there's hope for you. Amen. Ah, it's just wonderful. I want him to show me. Who wants God to show you your true state? You know, we can go to church and we can even be preachers and we can do all those things. Oh, that's very nice. But God has to show you your state. And when he shows you your state, then he can help you. But when we're just groveling along with the pigs, having a pig life, we don't know any difference. We start smelling like them. We start talking like them. We act like the world. We do all those things and not even realize that we're slipping away from God. I just want to tell you, with all my heart, I have had this recently in my life. I can't tell you everything. But God opened my eyes and I saw my state. I'm telling you, brother and sister, God showed me my state. I could not believe it. I was in actually bewilderment. Maybe God had used me in some small way. Gone overseas, preached to crowds. And God turned the lights on and showed me where I was. And I thank him for it. I'm very, very grateful that he showed me. And God has to show you. He has to show you. If he doesn't show you, you are history. God doesn't turn the lights on. There's nothing you can do. It's by the goodness of God that he leads us to repentance. He shows us our true state. We think we're walking with God. We're not. We're backslidden. Only God can show you that. We're chasing the world after entertainment, all those things. It's little time with God. Various prayer life, just about non-existent. But when God turns the lights on, you'll run for your life, dear Father. May God help us. It's in the darkest hour. Light shone into his heart. This man came to himself and the pigs. He's trying to get some food and the pig oinking next to him. He's in a real low state. You ever eaten with pigs? Brother and sister, it's not good. I haven't, but I don't want to either. But where was Jonah? In the belly of a whale. Do you know the stench that was in the belly of a whale? They say a man that's been in a whale's belly stinks for years. Gets right into you. Terrible place to be found. But in the bellies of the whale, in 3 days in the bottom of a whale, he must have been seasick too, Brother Peter. You can imagine it. And seaweed around him. But the lights came on. God said to him, what are you doing here? This is not Nineveh. And he turned to the temple and he prayed to God. He got God's promise, which God had promised. If you turn to the temple, he didn't know which way the temple was, but he did his best. He turned to the temple in the whale's belly and cried out to God. And God said to the whale, spit him out on the beach. When he got out on the beach, he was a changed man. I tell you, he was so happy to get back to Nineveh as fast as he could get there. When God shows you your state, you'll run to God. The child of God humbles himself. God will hear from heaven. I love this verse. We're going to read it. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. They're called by the name of the Lord, but you still need to humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. The way up is down. And both these brothers went down. One into a pig pen, one into a whale's belly. But down there they came to themselves. Down in that condition, the lights came on. I saw what they really were. Until God does that for you, you're in a dangerous position. I'm telling you now. God has to show you your state. I can't come down or any other person and try and tell you your state, or even myself. It takes God to do it. Coming to himself inside, he knew returning home was his only choice. Isn't that wonderful? The sun was just coming up over the horizon. The lights were coming on. Lord, I'm coming home to you. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. He was willing to take his chance. Willing to be a servant. You know, when God starts bringing you to himself and you start waking up, you are happy to humble yourself. You are happy to be a servant for the Lord. Job felt that way too. He wanted to trust the Father's mercy. He said in Job 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. You see, brother and sister, you take the chance. When you want to get back to God, you're running as fast as you can go. You don't care what others think, what other people say. You want to get there. You're sick and tired of living a double life. This man was sick and tired of living a double life. He wanted to get back. And even though he'd forsaken his dear father, he trusted in his father's love. You know, brother and sister, that is a wonderful story. Do you know the father went out each day? He said, I wonder if he's coming today. You know, it's like the Lord. He's watching you to see if you're going to come home again and give him your whole life. And all of a sudden he saw him. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We have forsaken the Lord many times, but he'll never forsake us. Isn't that a wonderful grace? Isn't that a wonderful Heavenly Father? You know, if it's us, we'd say, oh, blow with them. They cannot be trusted, but not our love of our Father. He's different. He has an everlasting love for his children. What a wonderful change of attitude when he came to himself. He came to himself. It's like somebody got him and just slapped him. You don't even see people slap on the cheeks. Wake up, wake up. He came to himself. He saw what he really was. He was hypocritical. It humbles us down when we look at our Lord from the mess that we are in. His only desire was to return to his Father at any cost. He was going to take the risk. And brother and sister, if you've been away from God and you know you're not walking right, take the risk and come back to God. It's a good risk to take, I tell you. Luke 15:18-19. He said, I will rise and go to my Father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am not worthy to be called thy son. Oh, what a lovely attitude. What a change from before. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You're willing to be a slave for the Lord. You love him so much because you want to get right with God. But it took more than that. Such humility comes in our heart when God deals with us, when we come to ourselves. May God grant us all that beautiful spirit of submission to God. God will get our attention. He will get your attention. He may put you through some really rough times, brother and sister. But he'll get your attention. He wants you because he loves you and he wants to help you. But he was born a son to begin with, and he is coming home. He was coming home. He was going to take the risk. He says, I think that's my father up on the horizon there. I think that's my dad. He's waiting to be blasted. He said, you're not coming back in here. Look what you've done. No, he didn't say that. He ran for his life, ran with all his might, put his arms around his son and said, my son, he who was lost is now found. And he loved him and he kissed him. He put up a big feast for him because he said, my son who was lost is now found. The father never even considered the request to be a servant, not for one second. When you come back to God, he doesn't want you to be a servant. He wants you to be his son or daughter. The father is ready to receive you no matter who you are or what you've done. It's time for us all to come to ourselves and to look up. For our redemption draweth nigh. I believe the coming of the Lord is at the door. Who believes that? Say amen. And brother and sister, we need to be ready. We've got to come back to the Father. Now these things are very real, I'm saying, brother and sister. There may be people here who are still wandering around. And they haven't got to this pig pen yet. But I'll tell you something. When God opens your eyes, it is as clear as a bell. You don't need me to tell you. You don't need anyone else to tell you. You'll know where you're at, and you know where to go. You go back to the Lord Jesus. And he that cometh to me, he says, I will no wise cast out. He's not going to cast you out. If you come back in true repentance and say, Lord, I've been living a double life. I haven't been honest with myself. I have not been honest with you. Will you help me, Lord? For the hour is at hand. May God be gracious to us all. Look out, for our redemption draweth nigh. Shall we just stand for prayer? Lord Jesus, you know what I speak. You know what I say, Lord. I'm not just saying words. I thank you, Lord, that you allow us to come to ourselves and show us very clearly through your word what we've been up to. I pray, Lord, that you'll just be gracious to every brother and sister here and those that are listening. Wherever they may be, Lord, make it real to them. Lord, for the hour is very late. I pray that you'd be gracious to us, Lord. Lord, forgive us for our waywardness, our prodigals' attitudes. Lord, I pray that you'll just shake us through and through. Lord, give us that true Holy Ghost repentance, a real waking up time, Lord, to realize where we're at. I pray you forgive us for our slackness, our lazy attitudes, all those things that we know we should be doing, we neglect to do it. I pray for your forgiveness, Lord. We come to you, our Heavenly Father. We're coming home, Lord. We want to come home. Lord, because you've shown us where we're at. You've shown us. We've come to ourselves, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'll help each brother and every sister here. In the name of Jesus Christ, speak to our hearts, Lord. May it be a living reality, I pray. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I've wandered far away from God. I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Father's house. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, that you would wake us up, Lord, and we will come to ourselves quickly, for the hour's late, very late, Lord. Just seems that so few are interested anymore. People interested in church, but they're not interested in walking with God as we ought to be. I pray, Lord, that you'll just cause us to come to ourselves, Lord, that we'll come home to thee. Really cry out to thee, Lord, and you put your loving arms around us and bring us into your sanctuary, Lord, into your presence through the blood of Jesus. We know, Lord, that you'll forgive us of our waywardness. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're just going to come to the communion. And this is where it made it all possible. Jesus died for us, took our judgment. He's given us a wonderful opportunity. So I wonder if we can sing Coming Home Again as we come around the table. Just come around, stand around here. Praise the Lord. Coming home. Coming home. Now.